time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Shalom, shalom, everyone, and welcome to the Coffee Break with myself, Aaliyah, and with Yosef. And we just want to wish you a warm welcome on this awesome Sunday evening and the final Coffee Break of the year. I can't believe it. I remember when we started, and I remember when it was probably almost 2 years ago.
That's right.
When we started, and we were like, okay, this is what Yahweh is saying to us to do, and how blessed the Coffee Break is, and how we look forward to being with you all every single week. And so, firstly, thank you so much for joining us this evening, and thank you for everybody who's been joining us this year. And we are so expecting that Father is going to do some amazing things this evening and just minister to our hearts and minister to our spirits and encourage and challenge and inspire and maybe confirm for many people what you have in your heart. And so welcome to you. Settle down, settle in, and let's have a great Coffee Break together. Yosef, welcome to you as well.
Thank you, Aaliyah. You know, it's crazy to think that we've been doing this Coffee Break now for, like you say, approximately 2 years, and it's such a blessing because I think when we started and when we thought that this was something that we were going to do, it really, I think we never had any idea even how this was going to happen and how we were going to broadcast live. And by the grace of the Father, we've managed to do it. And Yahweh has been so faithful. I think that for 2 years, it's been a miracle. I'm not always knowing sometimes what we're supposed to even speak about on the Coffee Break, but just trusting the Father and doing it and being blessed by it and meeting people and having a community of believers that have come faithfully every single week has been a real blessing too. So guys, thank you so much. Without you, I think the Coffee Break wouldn't be able to be as awesome as what it has been. And it's just been great. And we thank you for that. So I'm looking forward to this evening. As Aaliyah said, it's our last Coffee Break for the Greek year, if you want to put it that way. And we're going to be taking a bit of a break. But also with that, we just want to say that we will be back on Sunday, the 6th of January, 2019. That sounds so far away, but that's going to be when we are back. And we will look forward to seeing you on the Coffee Break again. But we'll send out an email and we'll let you know. So, Aaliyah, how's your week been and what's been going on?
You know, firstly, I wanted to say that we all need a break, you know, but I like was thinking about it yesterday because it was Shabbat and I was resting and I was thinking of this little phrase in my mind. And I was thinking, you know, me on 3 hours of my holiday, and I'm like, okay, Yahweh, what's next? You know, only had like 3 hours of holiday. I'm rested. What's next? And you know, I think that that's the excitement of serving Yeshua and the excitement of knowing him and seeing, you know, what he does in our lives, most importantly, and what he does in your life through the things that you do in your life. And you know, just the drawing closer to him and the outpouring of his spirit and just knowing him more and knowing him deeper and better, and the restlessness of knowing that, you know, like Yeshua prays in the prayer that we learn when we're in school, you know, that we learn as the Lord's Prayer. He says that may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, may your kingdom come. And that really needs to be the prayer of our hearts. And for me, I was just feeling all those things yesterday during Shabbat as I was really trying to be very, very intentional about resting and knowing though that 3 hours of holiday, 3 hours later, it's like, okay, I'm rested now. And you know, just that sense of feeling, Yahweh, what is it that you want to do? We are living in such an exciting time. And you know, many people can get bogged down with the bad things that are happening in the world. And sure, man, bad things have been happening since the Garden of Eden. It was bad that they ate the apple. So come on, bad things are going to be happening all the time. But that expectancy that we can know that Yeshua is at work personally in each and every single one of our individual lives and then collectively as a community. I'm excited and expectant because I believe that the Father is, you know, going to go deeper with all of us. And those who count the cost, those who lay it down, those who pick up the cross, and those who make it count. And it's, you know, last night I was speaking with my mom on the phone, and, you know, my granny obviously passed away close to 3 weeks ago, and it's also very new and fresh for everybody, and everybody just processing that. And my mom just speaking to me, and she said to me, "Oh, I think one day when we get to heaven and we're with God, it's going to be so great that we're going to think to ourselves, ah, oh, I wish I had left earth sooner, because to be with the Father is going to be so much greater than being down here." And I said to her, "Well, you know, obviously knowing my parents aren't really saved, but they have this idea of God, and they're trying to find themselves in it." And I said to her, "You know, the purpose of our lives on this earth right now is so that we can fulfill the call that He's given to us, and also see the glory of Yahweh in the land of the living." That's what it says in the Psalms, that we need to have that intimacy with the Father and know Him so closely here and fulfill that purpose He has for us, so that when we see Him one day face to face, whether it be, you know, when we die or He comes and returns, that we will be so well acquainted with Him that it won't be a surprise to us. That's how closely we should know Him. And I'm of that conviction. And she was kind of like very silent on the other end of the phone, thinking, trying to process what I was saying and not fully been able to receive what I was saying, obviously, but knowing that, you know, we shouldn't be looking for that get out of jail free card, I want to go to heaven. I should be looking to know Him so well that when I see Him face to face, you know, I won't even be that surprised, because I would have seen Him face to face this side of eternity. So that's what it means. And, you know, Yosef, if you could sum up this year, obviously we know it's a Gregorian calendar, blah blah blah, we've been in this already, but if you could sum up this year, you know, in one word for yourself, what would it be?
Tough. If it was one word only, tough. I think this year has been a real tough year. I think it's been a wilderness experience, but at the same time, it's been a growing experience. And I think that is the one word that I would use. Tough.
It's a good word.
Yeah, tough. It's been tough. I think, no, I wouldn't say difficult. It's not difficult and tough are not the same. I just think that sometimes we want to, you know, we say difficult, and difficult is sometimes where there is no solution. It's difficult and we can't find a solution. But tough reminds me of a soldier that's ready to go through the training because it's tough, knowing that at the end of it, they'll be ready to go to war. You know, but if we turn around and we say, you know, difficult, or we say crazy or this or that, sometimes we don't always find solutions for those meanings of those words. So tough for me, tough, but tough in the sense of good tough, tough in the sense of building your character, making you stronger, getting you through the mud. You know, at the end of the day, if you think about a soldier going through the obstacle course, the worst that happens is a couple of cuts here and there. You know, maybe exhaustion because you're tired and covered in mud. But at the end of the day, when you go and you sleep it off and you replenish and you go back and you do it all over again, you know that you're getting stronger every time that you're doing it. So it's been a tough year, but I think it's been a training year. I think it's been a year of getting ready for something else. And, you know, I've been sitting earlier this week and I've been thinking about one phrase. You know, you asked me one word. So I have one phrase or one sentence that's been playing over in my mind. And that sentence is, what if we gave everything? What if we gave everything that we are for a greater cause? And I don't want to even say greater cause in the sense of, oh, you know, for a project here or a project there. But, you know, you said something now and you said that we need to live this life on this earth as if it is the life that we would be living for all eternity. Because, you know, the truth of the matter is that this should be like a dress rehearsal for eternity. It shouldn't be any different. It should be that we are living with eternal value and eternal principles in our life, and that we should be living with a mindset, yeah, okay, we're not eternally alive, but we should still be living as a person who's living for eternity. And that means that we should be living righteously and guided by the Ruach and doing things that is said in the Word that a person should do. And not just be like, hey, you know what? I've got this gift that's been given to me because it's a gift. I've got this gift of salvation. So now that I've got it, I'm just going to keep chugging along. But what if we gave everything in our lives? What if we gave everything of who we are as people to Yahweh, and we asked Him to show us exactly how to live this life, this side of heaven. In other words, this side of life. How do we live in that knowledge of knowing him, like you said, face to face? Moshe, he knew Yeshua. I believe that was Yeshua that he met on the mountain. And I believe that you know, he passed him by. He saw the figure of his back when he passed him. And if we live with the knowledge that we can experience a fullness of Yahweh, of Yeshua, this side of the earth, then just like Moses had the glory of Yahweh upon his face, shouldn't we also kind of be like that? Shouldn't we also, like you said, have this understanding that if we give everything, if we live our lives unconditionally, is a better word, unconditionally for a cause that's not even found on this planet, a cause that man can't even actually describe, a cause that is so far beyond their comprehension, actually, that can only be understood if you're filled with the Spirit of Yahweh. If we lived like that, then I'm sure that we, just like Moses, would have the glory of Yahweh on our face. And we would get to know him, like you're saying, on this side of earth. We would get to know him here as we live. And we would get to know him face to face. So that's something that's been on my heart, is what if we gave everything? And you know, I don't know, Elia, I think as human beings today, we struggle to give everything. We struggle to give of our time. We struggle to give of you know, I don't know. There's so many things that we struggle to give of. So how then are we going to give ourselves 100% over to Yahweh if we struggle to even make time sometimes for our families, our friends, for the things that are dear to us? If Yahweh is the thing that is so dear to us, then how are we going to get to the point in this life where we realize that he needs to be our all and we need to give him everything? I think if we begin to live like that, and I believe there's going to come a time where we're going to see people living like that, where they're going to live by giving their all. You know, it's not going to be impossible. I believe that it's truly possible. I believe that the disciples were able to live like that. They lived in a way where they were totally committed to the cause, and they were totally committed to Yeshua. And that's something that's really been in my heart. I am praying that from this tough experience of the last year, that I'll be able to jump over that last hurdle into the new year. And I got my fingers up in inverted commas when I say year, because I know so many people get but it's not the biblical new year. No, it's not. But it is a time where the world sees there's change taking place. And we, as the people of Yahweh, we need to get ready for that. And we got to be equipped for what lies ahead. That's the way that I see it. And Yahweh, he works in his calendar, but the world doesn't. And the world is looking for answers. So we need to get busy in the world, in the place where there's chaos. We've got to get busy there.
You know, I was thinking when you were talking about the word tough, I was thinking, you know, in the greenhouses in the UK, in England, there's an English lily that grows, and it grows in the greenhouses under the most beautiful of realities, because it has everything that it needs. So lilies are a big thing in England, and so it grows and it has the right amount of water, the right temperature, and has the right everything within those greenhouses, so that every single part of its environment is so perfect so that it can grow and be beautiful, so that it can flourish in the gardens where it's planted or where tourists and visitors come through. We know that there are many different garden expeditions and exhibitions that happen in the UK during the year. And the English lily grows in this beautiful, beautiful greenhouse where everything is perfect. But we know in the desert, and especially in North Africa, there's a desert lily that grows. And it doesn't have the, what can I say, the privilege almost of growing in a greenhouse where it has water when it needs and where it has all the nutrients and someone tending and looking after it. So we have a desert lily that grows in deserts, and it also is so beautiful, and it buds, and obviously it has this beautiful whiteness about it, and it just grows in the harshest of conditions where there is no water and where there is nobody touching it or anything. But the reality is that the reason why the desert lily grows, is they've discovered when they've pulled it out of the ground, is that it has a huge, huge root and bulb, so that when there is water in the ground, when there is water every now and then in the desert, it is able to draw the water into its root and into its bottom part, so that it can be nourished through the dry seasons. And that really, really speaks to us, and that's how we should be our world and our reality is not going to be an English garden lily, because we're not going to be in an environment always where everything is given. Sometimes we will be, like you said, in that wilderness. And definitely, you know, for me, the first part of this year, the first half of this year, was an intense wilderness. And it was as though that was what the Father was saying to me. You can be a desert lily because your roots go deep in me. And that's what Psalm 1 says, that we are trees planted beside streams of living water whose root runs deep into him. So that when there are dry seasons, we can draw from the nourishment that is within us by his spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's how we should live and be. So that when things aren't so good, we know that we have everything we've needed within us. And so to make it through that time, and then we can grow and we can flourish in the desert. I mean, and it makes me think of that scripture that says the desert will blossom like a rose, and there will just be beauty. If we, as the people of Yahweh, don't always expect that things will go always perfectly, but that we are well nourished by him and in our relationship with him, that when tough times come, we really will be able to make it through. Amen. And I love that. So let us just open, let us just pray and just commit this time to prayer. So Father, we just thank you so much that Father, we are in it. We are in your will. We are, Father, so completely in your will today. That Father, we know that you are speaking to our hearts, that you are speaking your word. You are speaking your truth. And Father, you have so much that you want to share with us. Father, we love you and we commit this time to you. Yeshua, come and have your will and your way in all of our hearts. Thank you. Thank you that you're with us. Thank you that you're here. And we just commit ourselves and this time to you. And Yeshua, we pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, today is the seventh day of Hanukkah. It is the seventh day of Hanukkah. And I don't know about you guys, if you've been following Hanukkah this last week. I know that sometimes I've remembered it and some days, you know, I haven't remembered it. But in the back of my mind has always been this Hanukkah presence. And, you know, a lot of things have happened this week, and there's just this sense of Hanukkah. And today when I was really praying and asking the Father really about the deeper message for the coffee break, he reminded me that today is the seventh day of Hanukkah. And he reminded me that there is a reality of Hanukkah that we tend to forget. And that is that the Hanukkah, you know, celebration, as much as people light the menorah and do all of these things, is that it really, really started, like we've said before, with a faithful family, with one faithful family, with a man, a father of a family who was righteous and didn't bow and just had brought his children up and his sons, who were incredibly strong, to be people that were not only physically strong, but spiritually strong, so that when all these things came against them, they were able to stand. And what was happening in their time was that there was this influence of the Hellenistic culture, the Greek culture. And Greek culture is so, you know, that Hellenistic culture, we look back at history and we go, oh, well, that was 2,000 years ago. No ways. The Greek Hellenistic culture is part of our everyday culture today. That's right. Because the Hellenistic culture was about perversity, it was about self, and it was about worldliness, and it was about just getting rid of anything that, you know, was higher than you, so that you could almost be a god in your own eyes, because you were very much about, you know, what feels good, and this feels good, and that feels good, and let's do all these things. And that's why they had those different gods that they worshipped. It was about, you know, all this nonsense. Mm. And so today we have this reality that exists in our world, and we have a culture of this world that really, really exists. And we have this culture that is still about self. It is about the perfect selfie. You know, people take the perfect selfie and then they die, because they're trying to get the perfect selfie so that they can post it somewhere so people can like it. I didn't really get that. But it, again, is about self. And that is exactly the culture of our day today. It's the very, very thing that the Maccabees stood against. This influence of, I'm going to go with the culture instead of doing something. And at the end of the day, you know, the price that they had to pay, they had to decide on the price. And I'm going to talk a lot about this on this coffee break. They had to count the cost. They didn't even consider that the cost was high. They just did it because their heart was in it. And the price that they each paid to fight against assimilation of their people, to fight against this negative culture that was completely against everything that they believed and that Yahweh had taught them, which was about Him as Elohim, Him as the Almighty, them serving Him, them giving everything, people just worshiping the Father, not being about self, loving Yahweh with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, loving other people as you love yourself, you know, at practicing self-control, all those things, and giving of yourself, you know, doing all these beautiful things as the Torah instructed them to do. It was exactly what the Greek culture was against. And these amazing people, this family, said no, and they counted the cost. And each one of them laid their lives down to save their culture and to save worshiping Yahweh. They counted the cost. And you know, the truth of the matter is that we have this pressure today to compromise in every single thing that we do. The compromising can be small and it can be big, but they laid it down. The price was high and they paid it. And you know what, Yusuf, I cannot help but feel that we are facing the exact same thing in our lives today. We have a culture that says, you know, self, instant gratification, instant get this, build up your empire, don't give, don't do this, don't do that. It's all about the self. But yet the Father is calling each and every single one of us to do a lot more with our lives than just look and think about ourselves. The Father is saying that I've placed a calling in your heart, I've placed a purpose in your life, and I've placed passions and things in your hearts that I've given you to do, and it's no longer good enough for us to sit back and say that we won't do those things because we're stuck in worldliness, or we're stuck in self, or we're stuck in fear, or we're stuck in any of those things. The Maccabees went against those things. They laid down their lives literally to save people, and to not only save people, they, although that was part of it, the big thing for the Maccabees was that they didn't want to worship any other god besides Yahweh, and they didn't want to be obedient to any other law or rule besides the Torah and the most holy things of the Father. And that was what they did, and they really, really counted the cost. And as we go out of Hanukkah and we're going into, you know, we will roll over, and this month will roll over, and we'll be at the beginning of a new business year, beginning of a new secular year, beginning of where people return back to work after holidays, and then it gets back into very easy that worldliness they can consume and the busyness they can consume. How do we stay balanced? And I've had people asking me that. I work and I work hard. How do I stay balanced in what I feel the Father is calling us to do? And the truth of the matter is, perhaps, I don't know how we stay balanced, but perhaps it's time to tip the balance and to be more in the favor of what Yahweh wants us to do, and not be ruled by the fear or the worldliness or the can I, or someone said I shouldn't, or this defies logic.
You know, Leah, you said something now that really, it speaks to me, because the word that you said, or what you said when you were talking, is that we need to tip the balance. And I really feel that that's strongly on my heart this evening, that we understand that we really need to tip the balance. We need to be people that are radical. And so many people get freaked out when they hear that word radical, or they turn around and say, oh, but you know, that brother over there, he's just way too radical. I mean, one of these days, he's just going to burn out. Have you heard that being said before? Or people turn around and they'll say stuff in groups of people where they'll say, well, you know what, you just got to calm down. You can't be so on fire. The truth of the matter is that the gospel of Messiah Yeshua is a brave hearted gospel. It's a gospel that takes a person, and it should transform us and cause us to want to be, whether we are female or a man, that it should cause us to want to be a warrior for the kingdom of Messiah Yeshua. And what you said is that we need to take it, and we actually need to turn it around, and we need to say to ourselves, well, you know what, let me rather be a brave hearted person, or let me rather be a radical person. Because if we're not going to be radical, Lydia, then maybe there's going to come a time where there might not be any more radical people left. Well, there might only be one or two. And yeah, we know that the disciples, they were radical in what they did. It was groundbreaking. But I really believe that the Father's saying to us that what is more important to you? Is your work or me? Is it your children or me? Is it your wife or is it me? Is it your money or is it me? And we need to get radical about how we take what we believe and implement it in our lives and then begin to actually live that out. And you know, we were talking just today and we were saying that the Great Commission is not just for a select few people. The Great Commission, as we were talking earlier this afternoon, is for every single one that's saved, every single person that believes in Messiah Yeshua and believes that he has saved them. The Great Commission is for all of us. It's not just for a few. And in order for us to do the Great Commission in this messed up, perverted, sick generation that we live in, where exactly what you're saying, Aaliyah, where everything is now or self-gratification or Facebook Live or Instagram or whatever you want to call it, it's this idea that we live in a bubble. People live in a bubble. And if we are going to be people that are going to burst through that bubble and be able to actually get them out of their lethargic place that they're in, we're going to have to be radical. Because the truth of the matter is, man, the world out there, it's like Leah said, it's gratification. Young people today are more interested in playing games that are violent. They're more interested in going and watching movies that are bad, messed up. And those are the things that they're in a bubble. And how do you reach out, Leah? How do we reach out to people like that if we are not going to be radical? And I need to say it. Radical doesn't mean Bible bashing. Radical means your life needs to be an example to these people. Our lives, the way that we live, the things that we do, the way that we worship, the way that we love the Father has to be a testimony to these people, because nothing in the world is going to actually pull them out if it's not going to be done the right way. People, I don't know, I just feel like the world today is so spiritual, and I've got my fingers up again in inverted commas. They are so spiritual, but they are so unspiritual. And what I mean by that is they are searching for a spiritual experience. And if we're going to just bring them knowledge and the Bible and bash them over the head, they're going to go looking for that spiritual experience somewhere else, in places where they shouldn't go.
It is true. It is absolutely true that people are looking for that. And it's hectic. We live in a hectic world. But that just means that the Father can make us just more intense and Amen. More radical. And He can give us newer ways to do old things. Amen. So new ways to do old things, and old things just means that, you know, the gospel has been preached from the very beginning, so He can give us new ways to do it. We should always be looking for the new way that the Father wants us to be doing it. We should always be looking at the new, we should be looking at the positivity side of it, and we should be like, okay, yes, I can do it, and I can change the world, and that is why I am here. And we are alive in this generation for a purpose. With every single thing that we have on this earth right now, with every single thing that's moving and everything that's happening, the Father put us here, and we will witness those things, but he put us here to be a witness of a greater truth. Amen. And that is that we need to first have that solidified in our hearts that Yeshua is the Messiah, His word is the truth, and this is the only way. Before we go deeper and before we get into some yummy scriptures this evening, I really want us to go to our first song, because we've been speaking for quite a while already, as we are so excited about this topic. We're going to play a song that we hope will encourage you and really challenge you, because it really goes in with everything that we've been saying, which is so awesome, as a song was laid on our heart. So it's called What If I Gave Everything by Casting Crowns. So enjoy, and we will see you on the other side.
All my life I longed to be a hero, with a sword raised high, running to the battle. I was gonna take giants down, be a man you would write about. Deep in my chest is the heart of a warrior. So why am I still standing here? Why am I still holding back? Settled on the shallow end. So why am I still standing here? So afraid what is my cost to follow you. I'd walk by faith if I could get these feet to move. But still standing here? Why am I still holding back from you? You give me a fate that can move a mountain, but I'm still playing in the sand, building little kingdoms that'll never stand. I hear you call me up into deeper waters, but I settled on the shallow. I'm so tired of standing here. What if I gave everything to you? What if I gave everything? What if I stopped holding? Say goodbye to standing here.
You know, I just really like that song because it's the truth. What if we gave everything? What if we waited and waited and trusted that mountains could move?
Mm.
Even mountains of fear, mountains of doubt, if we just really believed. I really do believe, Leah. You know, you asked me what was one word that I could describe last year. So now this year.
When do you think of last year? No, that's
wow,
too far
man.
Back.
I really want it to be over. But if I have to just give one word of what's on my heart for next year, for what lies ahead, then I would say that I have one word that is on my heart, and that word is sent. The word sent. Mm. And I have really, really had that laid on my heart very strongly. And I really believe that the Father is waiting, Aaliyah, with this eager anticipation for a person or a group of people or a large group of people, whether it be small, large, whatever. But Yahweh is waiting with this eager anticipation for someone to say, just like the disciples said, or someone that will say, send me. I really feel that that's what the Father's laid on my heart. The word sent, that Yeshua was sent from the Father to us to give us this great gift of salvation. And now we have this great gift. And unfortunately, Leah, the truth of the matter is that so many people are sitting with this great gift that has been given to them and they're doing absolutely nothing. We have been saved by Yeshua and he's given us this hope of eternal life, that even if we die tomorrow, telling other people about this great mystery that he has given us, that we will one day be with him. That is an assurance that we have. So therefore, if we have this assurance, then we should have a radical faith. Then we should have a faith that causes us to say, hey, you know what? What have I got to lose? My life is saved. I've been saved by Yeshua. I'm living a righteous life. Let me now, therefore, lay my life down so that I can live this life radically for him. And that's what's really on my heart. That if we lived like that, then we would truly be a great, great testimony. And I feel, Lilia, that, you know, this is going to happen. It's going to happen because the Father is going to move among us and he's going to heal the broken places. He's going to fix those places. And the healing is going to not be like it was years ago. It's not going to be like, okay, people are getting the deliverance and then just wafting around. I really feel like there's going to be signs and wonders happening in the body of Messiah Yeshua, and people are going to get radically saved and set free. And there's going to be no other conclusion in their brains, but to be radical for him because of the way that they have been delivered. We saw it in the book of Acts, how people were getting saved and delivered and they became radical for Yeshua. We see it with the woman that followed. We see it with the men that followed and how the people were saved. And because they were saved in a radical way, they chose to give their lives over to this cause and to this great commission that was there. And we need to be like that. We got to get to a point where we say to ourselves, we've received all the teachings that we've needed. We've received all the knowledge that we needed. Now let us do something with what we have. Mm. Let us realize that the world is ticking, brothers and sisters. It's a ticking time bomb. And Yeshua is saying, who can I send? Who among you? Which one among you is ready to go? And we can't, you know, Aaliyah, we can't sit and wait and be like, oh, well, I'm waiting for my pick. I'm waiting for my axe. I'm waiting for my compass. I'm waiting for my TNT bombs. We can't be like that. Yeshua says, which one among you has the heart that's ready? When you go and I send you, you might go to a place that you've never been before or understand even the language. But the Father says that I will give you the words to speak when you're there. I will give you the authority and the power and the ability to do what you need to do. And that might even be being sent to Vietnam just to be an English teacher. But in doing that, you are doing what the Father's created you to do, because you're sharing with people the truth and they will come away. Maybe it won't be while you're teaching, but maybe it might be while you're there, living there as a teacher, where you'll be able to share the truth of who Messiah Yeshua is in a radical way with someone else, and that person's life will be changed.
You know, one of the things that really struck me on Shabbat was something that the Father shared with me. And, you know, Yahweh, from the very beginning, He created the world. And it says that He created the world. And, you know, Him being God and knowing everything, He knew the cost. Mm. And that cost would be that He would have to send Yeshua to die. And, you know, Yeshua, it says that all things were created by Yeshua, for Yeshua, through Yeshua, and in Yeshua. So Yeshua was with Yahweh from the beginning, and we know that Yeshua Himself was there creating the world and creating everything, but yet He knew what He would have to give up and leave in heaven so that He would have to come down to earth and be born as a little baby and to put on flesh like us and to live in this human body and this frailty that we have as people and that the struggles that we have and to feel all the emotions and not only to live as a human being but to die such an intense death and to take upon the world to take upon Himself the world's sin for thousands of years. I don't believe that we could ever begin to imagine. There's no ways that we can begin to imagine the price Yeshua paid. And yet, He counted the cost. Amen. Yahweh could have said right at the beginning, cool, I'm not going to create the world, and I'm not going to put humankind on the world. I'm not going to create Adam. I'm not going to create Eve. I'm not going to do this because I know what it would cost me as God to do this. But yet He didn't withhold anything back from us, and He still decided He wanted to put us here and that He wanted to walk with us and love us and be loved by us. And He still decided that He would create this universe and this world, and still that He would come and He would die and He would take upon Himself. So, you know, Yosef, for me, if the Father decided that was what He would pay, if God decided that was the price that He would pay, surely I can pay the small price of laying down my life to do the things that He's called me to do. Mm-hmm. And I really have this burden on my heart this evening. And I really know that you know, the Father has been really, really stirring my heart to say to every single person listening to this coffee break, whether you're sitting here with us this evening, and I believe that this word is first to those who are listening live this evening, but also then to those who will listen after, to say to you, what is in your heart today? What is in your heart right now at this very moment? You know, what is that stirring that the Father is saying to you that you need to do? And if you don't have a stirring in your heart, and you don't have a passion in your heart, and you don't have a larger vision than just this hour that you're alive in, and what I mean is this hour, like 8 p.m. on a Sunday evening, South African time, whatever time you're alive in, if you don't have a purpose or a vision or a passion or a mandate or something bigger in your heart than this moment, then something is wrong.
Amen.
And you really need to get into that prayer closet and pray that the Father breaks your heart for the things that's breaking his heart, and that he says to you so uniquely and so specifically, because everything that's within you right now, your personality, your gifts, your abilities, your natural knowledge, your wisdom, your understanding, your passions, everything that is within you is not by chance. It is so part and of a purposeful plan that Yahweh has knit you together. If you do not have a vision or a desire, and that could be, it doesn't need to be, well, I want to go to X place on X day, on X moment to do X thing. I'm talking about even just this desire to share truth with people. That could be a passion, or I want to invest in that. That could be a thing, or I'm going to do this next year and I'm going to walk this out over 6 months, or whatever. Whatever passion or purpose or vision, there has to be something greater inside of your heart. And we have to know, Yosef, that we are willing to count the cost. And I want to challenge you all this evening, as the Father handed me this thing and said to me, I want you to challenge my people on the coffee break tonight. What is in your heart? You know, you mentioned the Great Commission, Yosef, yes. And Matthew 28 is where we find this. And you know, this is obviously where after the Sabbath is ended, and then we have Miriam of Magdala and the other Miriam, you have all these women, these beautiful women that go to the tomb to find Yeshua. And we know that story. This is about when they see this resurrection and everything like that. They meet Yeshua, and they meet Yeshua, and he says to them in verse 10, he actually appears to these women. He appears in front of them, and then he says to them, rejoice. And they are so overwhelmed by seeing him. But you know, in Matthew 28, it's not just about further on, which we'll get to. Here he says in verse 10 to these women that have come to seek him, he actually says, throw off all your fears and go and tell my brothers to go to the Galilee, and they must wait, and they will find me there. The Great Commission doesn't, there's two Great Commissions that actually happen in Matthew 28. One is telling these women to go and tell the brethren that were in that place. And that speaks to us as well, because not all of us are called to maybe get on an airplane and travel a million miles to the middle of Siberia to go and evangelize some tribe that's never been reached before. That's a very specific calling. I'm not saying that everyone's called to do that, but everyone is called to go. Every single person that believes in Messiah Yeshua, whose heart is awakened to his spirit, is called to go. And I don't mean to go to Siberia. I mean, here he's saying to them, they need to go down the road to their brethren, to their neighbors, to their friends at work, to their friends over there, to their friends in university, and to your family members who are dying. And you go and you tell them about me. And you tell them about my resurrection, and you tell them about my life, and you tell them about who I am and what I've done for them. And he actually says to them something he's saying to all of us today, throw off all your fears. You know, Yosef, I earlier on was on social media looking at something, answering something my mom had said, and I saw posts that someone, I have no idea who this person is, but I felt that this post was for me today, that this woman shared a testimony of how she said that she was a young teenage mom, she was a teenager, she had a two-year-old, and how this pastor came and preached in their church 1 week, and she was serving Yeshua for a while, and the pastor said, who sitting here one has a burden to go on the mission field to Uganda and to Kenya? And she said she felt herself rise up out of her seat and she stepped forward. She said she had no idea. She just knew that that was her. And she said that at the time she was a teenage girl with a two-year-old baby that was unmarried, living in a one-bedroom house with her mom, living off welfare. And she said that the guy told her she would need 55,000 rand to do it. And that is a huge amount of money. And she said she had no idea how. But she began to believe not only in Yeshua, but in herself. And that was what Yeshua said to Peter. He said, he called Peter out many times and said, you are Peter. We need to believe in who we are. We need to believe in who we created to be. And this is what, this is that, that really spoke to me. And she said she started to believe that God had called her, and that that was her mission, and that that was what she had to do. And she said within 5 months, when she started believing in herself and she got rid of all the fears and stopped thinking that finances was a problem, she said other people started to believe in her and people raised that money and she went. And it changed her life. And you know, here Yeshua was saying to these women, you go just down the road. Maybe that's where you need to go. All of us need to go, because later on in verse 18 and 19, he then speaks to the disciples, the 11 disciples that he meets in the Galilee. And you know, he actually says to them, and we know the scripture, Yosef, so well. It says that Yeshua came close to them and said that all authority of the universe has been given to me. Now, you go and you make disciples of all the nations, every single nation. Now he says to them, we have 11 disciples here, and now they are called to go out into the known world at that time and to make disciples of all those nations. I mean, back in the day, they didn't know South Africa was even here, so they didn't consider coming here. But they were going all over Europe, and there's talk that they went into Asia, and there's talk that they were in France, there's talk that they were all over the show. You read it all about it, and it wasn't only those 11 disciples. We know that Miriam of Magdala, Mary Magdalene, went far and wide, and we know that Yeshua was saying to them, you go. Every single one of us has to count the cost. You know, Yahweh created the world, and then he said, then, you know, sin entered the world, and then it said what? He sent forth Yeshua.
Amen.
That was the first mission. The first mission work was who? Yahweh sending Yeshua. It said he sent forth. That's what it says in the scriptures, his only begotten son. The greatest mission trip that would ever happen was when Yeshua came to earth and told us the greatest news that we had ever heard, that he was the Messiah. But he didn't only tell it to us. He showed it to us by the fact that he died and then he resurrected, which Paul says, because of Yeshua's resurrection, we have hope that he was the Messiah, but that also we will be resurrected with him. How can we sit and not count the cost when he counted it first? And when we know there is an unreached world that is busy dying, and that person doesn't only need to be in Siberia, it could be right next door.
You know, Leah, you said that we need to go no matter the cost. And I think this is something that we as believers, we struggle with, because we always want to point a finger and say, no, someone else will go and do that. Someone else is called to that. You know, I've heard people say to me, oh, but you know what, brother, I'm not called to speak, or I'm not called to, you know, pray for somebody that's demon possessed, or I don't feel that's who I'm supposed to be. But the truth of the matter is that it's not about who's called and who's not. It's about who is sold out and who's not. It's about who is willing to be used by the Father. And Yeshua, as Elias said, he was the sent one of the Father. And what's interesting is that we talk about, you know, in the book of Ephesians, we talk about the gifts, the fivefold ministry, about the apostle and the prophet. And people always say, oh, the apostle came in the New Testament. No, Yeshua was the sent one of the Father. And there were many others who were prophets of Yahweh, who were sent by Yahweh to the people for a very specific reason. And you know, there's a few scriptures I just want to read to you. And we need to understand, like Elias said, all of us have been called to go. We have all been called to be a witness to our neighbor. We have all been called to be a witness to our family. We have all been called to live the life that others can look at and say, hey, you know what, that is a saved person. And one of the biggest things that causes us to run away from these things is fear. Fear causes people to run away, but fear is also an outworking sometimes of a lack of intimacy with the Father. Because when we really are intimate with Yeshua and we really believe that what he's saying to us is the truth, there comes this peace, this shalom, because it says that I will give unto you a peace or a shalom that far surpasses all understanding. And that can only come through that intimacy with the Father, knowing his voice and knowing that when he says to you, it's time to go, that you heard his voice and not your own. Because in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So that perfect love that we have for Yahweh and that he has for us, it casts out fear, because fear holds punishment. And he who fears has not been made perfect in love, or made mature in love. So it comes down, and I'm saying this tonight with a lot of love. There's the word again. But it comes down to our relationship with Him. When we believe that He is sending us and telling us to go and speak to that person, then we will go because we have a love relationship and our intimacy with the Father is secure. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 1, Moshe speaks to the children of Israel and he tells them to put their faith in Yahweh. And he addresses their fear that they might face when they need to do battle. And I want to say this, every single time that you need to go out and do something, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle between your flesh and your spirit man. It's going to be a battle inside of you. But when you conquer that fear because of the intimacy that you have with the Father, you will overcome. And it says this in Deuteronomy 20. It says, when you go out to battle against your enemies and shall see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For Yahweh your Elohim, who brought you up from the land of Mitzrayim, is with you. Just as Yahweh was with them then, so He will be with us now too. And I believe that He will be with us even more now because He knows how bad things are in the world. And He knows how hard it is to break through that glass ceiling. So it says this, who brought you from the land of Mitzrayim, He is with you. And it shall be when you draw near to battle that the priest shall come and speak to the people and shall say to them, hear, O Israel, you are drawing near today to battle with your enemies. Now hear what it says again. Do not let your heart faint. Do not fear or tremble or be afraid before them. For Yahweh your Elohim is He who goes with you. Yahweh will not send us to a place where He's not willing to go with us. And it also says that Yahweh is with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. And you know, when we live like this, Aaliyah, when we truly live like this, I believe that we are going to see great things upon the earth. And there's another scripture that I want to share with you, and it's very, very important that we understand this. You know, so many of us, we've accepted Yeshua as our Savior. We've begun to walk maybe in this walk of the Torah, and we're doing what is required of us by keeping His commandments. But the one thing that we said last week that I want to say again is that nowhere in the Torah does it tell you to go and make disciples. It doesn't say that. It is Yeshua's words where He says to His disciples, lay down your life for Me. And then He says that you are to love your brother and that you are to go and make disciples. And He actually says, the original says, not disciples, it says taught ones, teaching them everything that I taught you. And what Yeshua taught His disciples is a lifestyle. It's how to live a redeemed, overcoming life. We're very quick to go out and say to people, oh, but you know what, let me pray for you to be filled with the Spirit, and let me pray for you, and then you know what, now that you're saved, come with me, let me take you to church, and then you know what, sit over there, brother, I'm going to go over there, and we leave that person, and a couple of weeks down the line, they don't come back because they haven't actually received anything except a little bit of a pat on their back. And Yeshua is saying, no. If we are going to be a world that brings change to our society, then we need to make disciples, lasting disciples. And the way that we have been fed by Yeshua should be the way that we go out and feed others. So the way that we've been fed by Yeshua should be the way that we want to feed others. We should give of our lives to them. And that means that we walk alongside them. And it says in Luke chapter 9, verse 61, and another also said, Master, I shall follow you. How many times have we heard this, Aaliyah, where people cry out and say, I will do this. I'm gonna walk out this thing called salvation. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to change the world. But the truth of the matter is this. Then so many people turn around and they say, you know, they get prayed for and they get filled with the Spirit and they're on fire. And then they turn around and say, hey, you know what, Brother Yusuf, I'm going to go to the missions field. I'm going to do this. But then, as soon as things start getting a little bit tough or difficult, they turn around and say, but hold on. And just like the scripture says, but let me first go say goodbye to those in my house. And then it goes on in verse 62 and it says, but Yeshua said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the reign of Elohim. Brothers and sisters, we cannot look backwards. We cannot look back to where we could have been. We need to go forward and believe that the Father, through His Son, will take us to where we need to be, and that in Him we will be able to do greater things. Man, if there are 10 people wanting to live this life, can you imagine? You know, through one man's life, Moshe, Yahweh brought an entire nation out of slavery and brought them into the promised land. He didn't enter in, but he was one of the people that really brought the people out of slavery. So imagine what Yahweh can do through 10 people sold out to him, or maybe 20 people that are truly sold out to him, that are no longer living in fear. Why? Because they have an intimate relationship with him. Mm-hmm. It's all got to do with intimacy. And Elijah quoted that scripture, and it says in Matthew 28, it says, "And I will be with you until the end of the age." And he's talking there to his disciples, and he's saying that to you and I. In order for him to be with us till the end of the age, we need to live a holy life. We need to live a set-apart life. Then he will be with us till the end of the age. And Elijah, I want to thank you tonight for this subject that you brought up, because it is very, very important. If we cannot live the life that Yeshua wants. Not all of us are called necessarily, like you said, to go to Serbia or maybe to go to the missions field where we're working hands-on. But all of us have been called to go. Every single one of us have been called to make a disciple in this life. Whether it be your child that you raise in this life, your duty is not just to get your child saved. Your duty as a mother or as a father is to invest into that child's life so that they can become a Talmid, a disciple. That's what the father wants. So it is every one of us, our duty as a saved person, to make another disciple. And it doesn't matter who that might be. If you make one disciple in this life, you are fulfilling what Yahweh has called you to do. You're fulfilling that. So it is important that we understand this. And that is why, brothers and sisters, it is going to cost you to do that. It costs us laying down our life for someone else. So my call to you, like Elijah said this evening, what are we going to do in the coming year? What are we going to do in the time that is left for us? Are we going to just be pew warmers, or are we actually going to go out there with what we got and set a place alive? Set this earth ablaze with Yahweh's truth and his presence, and make disciples, lasting disciples, that are no longer feeding off the scrubs of the earth, but feeding off the Father and getting the food. Because he said, Yeshua said, "I am the bread of life." So we need to give Yeshua to people, not our church programs, not our community networks, or a fancy book that says, "Hey, you know what, just walk across the room and you'll be able to help other people." No, we need to give Yeshua. And the only way that we can give Yeshua is by having a living, intimate relationship with him. That's the only way that we can do this.
And I just want to end off, before we go to the song, with reading John 11, verse 52, which says, "Yeshua's death would not be for the Jewish people only, but to gather all of God's children scattered around the world." Amen. And to unite them as one.
Amen.
May that be the truth. May we seek and find, you know, the fact that Yahweh has children all over the world, children that are yet to be spiritually born. You know, they may be walking, living out there in their bad worldly lifestyles, just like all of us were. And the Father sent somebody to speak to them, and to speak to us, so that they could become one of Yahweh's children. And that was the purpose of Yeshua's death, so that we would become adopted into the family of Yahweh, and so that we would be united and become one. And may that truly be something we take with us into the months that lie ahead, that we will not become cold, lethargic people who are complacent and happy with just our own salvation, but may we carry a burden for those who are desperate and broken. So we're going to go to our final song, called "Tell the Whole World" by Jeremy Camp. And now's the time, obviously, where we always say, let's pray together. Let's pray. And you know what? When we come back, let us pray together. Let us pray, Yosef, for everybody that's sitting here, but let everybody that's sitting here pray for one another. Pray in this song for the person that's name is above you, and pray that the Father will give them the vision that he wants them to have, the passion that he wants them to live with. Pray that they will be set ablaze, because the person above you is a child of the Most High and has a place and a purpose. And Yahweh says that I came to give you what? Hope, a future. He came to give us all these things. So pray for the person above you. Listen to the song. And when we come back, we're going to trust the Father. And we're going to pray together. So enjoy the song.
is a savior. He found me lying in my grave. One word, just one word, I heard redemption call my name. Now that I've tasted living water,
I just really love that song because it is the truth that I just want to tell the whole world that I'm free, because that is how we should be living. We are free, and we should remember that, and we should live as free people and not bound people, and we should get to a point where we want the whole world to know. And you know, there's one part of that song where he says he wants to see the nations filled with the knowledge of who Yahweh is, and that's what I want to see. I really believe that now is the time more than ever. So is there any prayer requests? We did ask if there was any. If there's none, then we're just going to close this evening and we're going to pray. Like Aaliyah and myself said, remember that there is not going to be a coffee break until the 6th of January 2019 again. We will not be doing the coffee break. We will just be taking a bit of a break, and we look forward, hopefully, to see you all on the 6th again on the coffee break. So let's pray and let's trust the Father for the rest of this time, and also the rest of what's left of this year. And we pray that Yahweh will richly bless all of you as you continue with him. So let's just pray. Father, we want to thank you in the wonderful and powerful name of Yeshua, Father, for every single person that joins us faithfully every week, Father, those that have been here for the last couple of years, Father, we thank you that there has been a lot of growth, Father, that's been taking place in the lives of many people. And Father, for that, we are truly blessed. Father, our heart's desire is to make disciples. Our heart's desire, Father, is to see these disciples go out and make more disciples. And Father, to see hearts set on fire by your word and by your truth. I thank you, Father, for the things that I've read on this coffee break, Father, how people are taking hold, Father, of your word. It's not our word, Father, it's your word, and running with it. I pray, Father, as Micah said, that we will become people, Father, through whom your power and your presence is displayed, that we will model the life of the one who set us free. Father, that we will model the life of Yeshua in a dying and crooked generation. Father, this world is a mess. And Father, when we look at the news and we see things that are going on around us, Father, sometimes it can be a little bit overwhelming. But we thank you, Father, that you are working. That, Father, as the darkness rises, so the light of your presence will continue to shine on your righteous children. And Father, therefore, we are glad and we are happy, Father, that we are alive in a generation like this, so that we can do what you're asking us to do. So, Father, we want to pray in the name of Yeshua Mashiach, Father, that you will bless every single person, that you will continue, Father, to speak to them, continue, Father, to profoundly, Father, blow their minds, Father, blow their minds with the knowledge of who you are, and help them, Father, in the next couple of weeks to know, Yahweh, that you are for them and not against them. We thank you and we bless you and we ask, Father, by your gracious power, Father, that you will just seal every person in the blood of Messiah Yeshua, and that your spirit, Father, will abide in them. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. It's been so good to be with you all, you know, this evening. And the truth is, yes, we know that Father wants us to take a break, but it is very hard because we like, oh, we love being with everybody. But yeah, think of us, keep us in your prayers as we keep you all in our prayers. And let us just pray for one another that the Father accomplishes his will in all of our lives and just molds us and shapes us and grows us to be more and more reflecting the image of Messiah Yeshua. And so see you all in the Bible reading group for those of you who are there. And lastly, before we sign out this evening, we just want to wish a Mazel Tov happy birthday
to Marilise. Happy birthday to you, Marlies. Happy birthday to you,
Marlies. We wish you a happy, happy birthday. We pray that, you know, as you have entered into this new year of your life, that Yahweh is really going to bless you and go crazy in your life and just expand your territory and expand your tent pegs and just lengthen your cords, and that He's going to just do so much in your life that it's just going to blow your mind away. I know your mind is already blown away, so I pray that he will blow it away even more. And we just want to bless you as a community and thank you for who you are and who you've been to this body and to this community. So happy birthday. Have a great one. And to everybody, thank you, James. We just want to just say we just so appreciate all of you. And yeah, we just want to wish you a Shavuot Tov. And thank you for being special. Thank you for being such amazing people. Thank you for fellowshipping with us on the coffee break. You know what? Sometimes we really, really feel so connected to each and every single one of you in the spirit when we are sitting on this coffee break. And we feel that connection. We feel that openness and that love and that joy. And so we value that and we appreciate it. So we're going to play out with our final song this evening by Stephen Curtis Chapman. Who you say we are, may we be who Yeshua says we are. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Take care and see you all soon.
Children of God. Thank you. We are.
as orphans and slaves. You made us your heirs, you gave us your name. There's nothing more that we could ever do. You finished it all on the cross, then rose from the grave and brought us with you.
That we can say, say.